though every language is beautiful, every language has its own greatness and beauty, and so much of contribution every language has. But still, language happens to be the carrier of culture. Culture has being based on vision. So the language can be only as expressive as the vision. That is why sometimes we find it very difficult. All the languages are not equally expressive, as expressive as Sanskrit. That's the problem. Samskriti Vahini, Samskritam. We always say that. So we are in the last chapter of Mundaka Upanishad. I do not know how much you remember from Mundaka, first Mundaka chapter 1 and 2, second Mundaka chapter 1 and 2, and third Mundakam chapter 1 and 2. I do not know how much you remember. You've been listening to me for so long. But once we finish this, and I'm really thinking how to make you really have a thorough vision of the whole Mundaka Upanishad. That is my next thing. And if we finish it, then we'll start that work. After finishing this, we'll do that. Because otherwise, there's no meaning. Simply coming and listening, you feel, same thing is, because same thing is said here, go back. One thing you remember all the time. But actually, how Upanishad presents the whole object matter, you know, that we have to really see. And you have to really, and then it's also important to sit and make some notes also for you. Notes is not really, during the class, you don't need to write down really big notes. You can take some important things, but afterwards, somewhere, one has to do that. I know, people think coming to the class and going back itself is enough. It's like Gita Jnana Yagya, when people conduct, 1 week, people all will go. Every day they'll go and sit in the class and then chant Gita and bhajans, and then like a big festival, they'll come back. And afterwards they'll forget about it. And until next year Swamiji comes, and nobody will look at it. I know all the Gita Yajnana Yajnas. I was organizing a lot for Swamiji, all other Swamis in Coimbatore. So this is what happens with Jnana Yajnas. Big gala. And then that's all over. But this is more a serious study. It's like people who study in Gurukulam, how they study. I really wish you study like that, because that is the only thing which will really bring some clarity also. So we were seeing in the second Mundaka, the mainly what is discussed is the fruit of Jnanam. Fruit of, benefit of Jnanam. Jnanena kim prayojanam. What is the benefit? What is the fruit? What is the phalam one gains, you know, as a result of Jnanam? As what is the benefit of gaining this Jnanam? If there's no benefit, then we can't it's of no use, isn't it? Then what is the fruit one gains by gaining this Jnanam? That is also discussed. And you know how what. Second thing, and also to gain that Jnanam, and how, what are the disciplines one should follow also as discipline. So Jnanam, by mentioning the fruit of knowledge, by mentioning the benefit of gaining the Jnanam, it really makes understand the value of knowledge. Thereby, it also emphasizes the values and disciplines to go with that which go with the Jnanam also. And first, the first discipline, what he says is Purushartha Nischayaha. Isn't it? Purushartha, look at that, I'm not repeating. Upanishad says that, Na ayam atma balahinena labhyaha, when we saw last class, balahinam is weakness, and that weakness is what now? That actually balahinaha, atma can, it's not attainable for, or self-knowledge is not attainable for the weak person, means a strong person alone can attain the self-knowledge. And what is the strength here? strength means not the one who goes aerobics, does and then David a gym and then becomes develop his muscles. That strength is very good. That's also important. But that is not the strength mentioned here. Here the strength is, you know, the commitment. Now the strength, mental strength, born of one's commitment to the pursuit of knowledge through conviction that self-knowledge is itself mokshaha. Isn't it? That is the strength. And that strength is there, only then anything you practice, shravanam will be effective, mananam is possible, nidhyasanam is possible. Isn't it? Then any tapas, any discipline you practice, any austerity you practice, anything you do will be meaningful and really contributive. No, then only if first of all that shraddha is there. That is why he said, what is the use of simply where there is no commit? There is no commitment to the pursuit of knowledge. There is not real understanding of the value of this knowledge. There's no conviction, there's no commitment, and then simply, then whatever you see, the jnana will not work. Isn't it? Therefore, he said, abalahinena atmana labhyaha. Then, nacha pramadat, we saw the last class, that's also pramadaha. Still, mind is given to everything else means, the attachments, still mind is not taken away from other things, means then also jnana will not work. Alingat, isn't it? One has to really mentally go through sannyasa, otherwise jnana is not possible. So these are the upayas, these are the means with which if a person pursues jnanam, then definitely He recognizes the reality as one's own self, and thereby oneself being non-separate from the whole, also he understands. First, one has to recognize oneself being Atma, the pure consciousness. Thereby, he recognizes oneself being the self of everything. That's how it becomes one with Brahman. Yeshaha Atma Brahma Dhamma Vishate, we saw last class. Thereafter, we also saw what does it mean by saying one entering into Brahman. A wise person becomes one with Brahman. A jnani becomes one with Brahman means, what does it mean? Becoming one with Brahman means, does he go and hug and he disappears there? No. Then what does it mean? Because this is the context where people use the words merging, reunion, etc., etc., which really create only vagueness in you. There is no merging, there is no union. It is like we saw already, ghata akashaha, ghate bhinne ghate, ghata akashaha maka maha akasheiva. Just as when the part is broken, part upadhi is broken, just as the part space, as though joining the space. Really, there is no real joining. It is already one inseparable with the space. Like that, wise person also, what now? Enters into Brahman means becomes one with the whole. Isn't it? That also we saw. So we are going to the next verse. So all about jnana phalam and also jnanam jnana phalam. This is what is discussed here. What is the jnana phalam? What happens to a jnani is said, if what happens to a wise person, that is said means, that is what is what? Fruit of knowledge is said. That is how fruit of knowledge also is revealed. Look at this. Vedanta vijnana sunischitarthaha. Vedanta vijnana sunischitarthaha. Sanyasa yogad. Sanyas yogat yatayas shuddha sattvaah. Yatayas shuddha sattvaah. This mantra is also found in other Upanishad, Mahanarayana Upanishad. There we have swaras. So I'm teaching you the swaras. Okay? Otherwise, it does not. Mundaka Upanishad mantraha do not have swaras. So only this mantra we have from other Upanishad also. We can have swaras. Usually when we receive sadhus, we chant this mantra. So if you learn well, you can receive Swamiji like this mantra. Okay, I want to teach you the whole mantra, what we have to chant to receive. Even tomorrow we have to chant, because Mahadakshinamurti, Mahaguru, Adiguru, now we are going to invoke His grace, so we have to do that also. Vedanta, tomorrow you can't chant anyway, but next time. Vedanta vijnana sunischitarthaah.
Vedanta vijnana sunischitarthaah.
Sanyasa yogad. Sanyasa yogad. Yatayas shuddha sattvaah. Shuddha sattvaah. Te brahma lokeshu paraantakale. Te brahma lokeshu paraantakale. Paramruta, paramruta, parimuchyanti sarve. Parimuchyanti sarve. This is an author Upanishad. Dahram vipapam. We have that. Okay. Now look at this. Sarve parimuchyanti. Sarve means all the wise people. Isn't sarve all? Parimuchyanti. See, muchyanti means they become free. Parimuchyanti means they become free. How do they become free? They become free for good. So, parimuchyanti. Muchyanti itself is enough. They attain moksha. They become free. But parimuchyanti means they become free for good. They attain moksha for good. They attain videha muktihi. They become free for good. Who become free for good? This is the jnana phalam. Moksha is the jnana phalam. Isn't it? They attain moksha. And who are the people who become free for good? Yes. Vedanta vijnana sunischita arthaha. Vedanta vijnana sunischita arthaha. It means the people. Okay, it means why people. Sunischitaha arthaha yaihi. Sunischita artha means what now? That which has become very clear, definite for them. The Shastra's vision has become their vision. There's no nischita artaha, sunischita artaha, doubtlessly. They have the doubt-free, clear, ascertained understanding, sunischitaha artaha. What has been doubtlessly, clearly understood by them is Vedanta Vijnanam. Vedanta Vijnanam means what now? Vedanta Janita Vijnanam. No? The knowledge born of the study of Vedanta Shastram. Knowledge born of the study of the Vedanta Shastram is Vedanta Janita Vijnanam. Isn't it? And what is subject matter of the Vedanta Vijnanam? Knowledge of that Vijnanam? Atma. Isn't it? Sunischitaha arthaha means what now? Those who have clear, doubt-free vision of the self, which is the subject matter of the knowledge gained through the study of Vedanta. That means what? They studied Vedanta Shastram, they have gained the Jnanam, and the subject matter of the Vedanta Jnanam is Atma, and now they are very, very clear. They have no doubt or whatsoever. They have the definite knowledge of the self, which is self being Brahman, the pure consciousness, which is the existence of this jagat, which is there as the existence of the jagat. Is it clear now? So, Vedanta Vijnana Sunischitarthaha means those who have clear, doubt-free vision of the ascertained vision of the self, which is subject matter of the knowledge of what? The Vedanta knowledge born the study of Vedanta Shastra. Is it clear now? These are the people. So, wise people. To say it briefly, wise people, jnanis, he gives a long compound. Vedanta Vijnana Sunischita Arthaha means what now? Wise people. Why? Because wise means, we simply say wise people very easy. You know, how do you become wise? Meditate and become wise. Know the truth and become wise. Very simple. People say that. No, this compound itself tells you how do people become wise. Who are the wise people? Those who know the truth of the whole. Those in whose vision all that is there is only Brahma. Such people, what happened to them? They do not see oneself being non-separate from the whole. Those who resolved oneself, one's own identity with the totality. Such people are the wise people. And such wise people, who are the wise people? How do they see that oneness of reality? How do they see all that is there is only Brahma? How do they not see themselves being non-separate from Brahman? How do they see everything as one? How is it possible for them to resolve identity with the totality? Because they have clear knowledge of the self. Doubt-free knowledge of the self. Very important. Without knowing one's own self, there's no way of seeing everything as only Brahma. How will you see all that is there is Brahman if without knowing your own self first? Isn't it? It's not one after the other. First you see the self, then afterwards you see, understand everything is Brahman. Not simultaneous, but still I'm saying, seeing oneself, knowledge of oneself, the only way of knowing the truth is knowing one's own self. There's no other way of knowing the truth. Therefore, those who know the self alone know the truth being one, all that is there is only Brahman. And for such self-jnanam, atma-jnanam, they should have the clear vision of the atma. So how do they gain the clear vision of the atma? By doubt-free knowledge, by constantly reminding oneself of the fact. What is the fact? See, in jnanam, it is what you have to start now. Okay, in jnanam, what one should do is, one has to constantly remind oneself of aham akarta, aham abhokta, I am non-doer, I am non-enjoyer. Isn't it? I am, when you say that I actually means pure consciousness, that I does not mean the mind, that I does not mean the body, that I does not mean the senses, that I does not mean pranas, that I does not mean physical body. One has to remind, now you know what actually I is, and constantly one has to remind oneself of, what now? I am akarta. I am not the doer, I am non-doer. There's a big difference in saying that. You know that? I'm not the doer means a problem. I'm non-doer, if you say it is not a problem. I'm non-doer, I'm ahakarta, I'm abhokta. No, that one has to constantly remind oneself of the fact. That constantly reminding oneself of the fact about one's own self. Constantly reminding oneself of the fact about oneself is contemplation, nididhyasanam. That alone will help one to have the clear vision of the self. So clear, doubt-free vision of the self alone will help one to see everything being Brahman. See the order. And to constantly remind oneself of the fact about oneself, one should have understood the fact about oneself. How can you remind yourself of the fact about the self if you do not even know what the fact is? Understand? That implies what now? Mananam. You are very clear, definitely. I is not the body. I is not the mind. I is not the pranas. I is not any of these things. But all of them are, though physically inseparable, really speaking, I actually is pure consciousness. I am, I the self am the knower, the subject of knowledge, which is pure consciousness. Isn't it? This jnanam, this is actually the fact, this is how you clear your doubts. Any doubt you say, constantly you reflect on this, then you become clear about the fact, then you constantly remind yourself of the fact. But even to reflect on constantly this fact, thereby ascertain it, thereby or constantly reminding yourself of the fact means what? First of all, you should have done Shravanam. Isn't it? One must have done Shravanam. It is not that overnight I get it. No. If anybody claims I have got overnight, that person will not come and tell you. Even if he has got it. Because he can't tell you how he has got overnight. Maybe the Mahatmas, because of poor Janmantra Samskaras, they must have worked hard in their previous lives. This Janma, without going to school, without going to study, without studying, they get it means that because of past, they must have worked hard in their previous lives. Such Mahatmas cannot become teachers. They may have vision, they may not be able to communicate. Because sampradaya is very important. Listen, what I'm saying here. So, shravanam, one must do a proper shravanam for length of time. Don't be in a hurry. Study text after text repeatedly. Having finished one text, don't be in a hurry. Don't feel bored. Don't feel... Now, sometimes the mind always finds it difficult to be with things. Because that is why Shravanam has to be done. Adequate amount of Shravanam must be done. And with a competent teacher, for a length of time, very, very systematically, very regularly, never bunk the classes. We do bunk the classes, It's all very important. I'm not simply saying for my sake, but part of my teaching I had to say this. So now, Vedanta Vijnanam means what? Try your best not to miss the classes. I know a lot of difficulties are there, but be very regular, very committed and continuous, isn't it? It's all very important. And nothing else is there, we come to the class. Something is there, we won't come to the class. What is the priority? I'm not saying you're wrong. That means mind is not yet settled. Still Purusharth Nischaya is not there. 30, 20, I can understand. Children, they have to run around. 30, I can understand. 40, I can understand. 50 also, I can understand. 60, 70, still I can't understand. I don't know. So, even then running around, too many things for the head. I don't know how this emotional entanglement has to be, entangled, everywhere entanglement. That is why. Because Vedanta needs your total attention, total focus. Vedanta Shastra means total focus. So, Shravanam, is a must. Shravanam will give you, first of all, and it will start with your ignorance. It will make you first enlightened of your ignorance. Then, thereafter it teaches you, it helps you distinguish the self from the non-self, thereby helps you to see what exactly the self is, and it establishes the non-duality of the self. Shravanam. Thereafter, you again and again reflect on what has been heard and understood, then even repeated shravanam itself will become mananam. That mananam will result in what? Will give you the clear understanding of the fact. Thereafter, when you constantly remind yourself of the fact, that becomes nididhyasanam. This is what shravanam, manana, nididhyasanam is what now? Vedanta vijnanam. Okay, knowledge born of what now? The clear, doubt-free vision of the self, born of the subject matter of the knowledge, born of the Vedantic study. Basically, now, such are the wise people. Don't think overnight they become wise people. Okay, everything we can't, no fast food here. Therefore, Vedanta Vijnana Sunischita Arthaha. And such people, Sanyasa Yogat Shuddha Sattvaha Yatayaha. Yatayaha means Yatihi. Yatayaha has come from the verb Yatate. Yatraha Prayatraha, in other languages also we have Yatana Shilaha Yatayaha. Yatana Shilaha. When you say, those who make constant, continuous effort, those who never give up, you know, constantly perceiving people, and then those who have mastery over, they make, you know, those who have mastery over mind and senses, and those who make people of constant perseverance and effort are called Yatana Shilaha. Such people are they who, sannyasis actually, Sanyasa Yogat Shuddha Sattvaha. Shuddha Sattvaha means those who are pure minded. How did they become pure? Sanyasa Yogat. Sanyasa Yoga Sarva Karma Parityaga Lakshana Yogat. Now they are absolutely pure. In Jnanam, Yeni, Tom, Dick, Harry becomes completely pure minded and free. There is nothing which is as purifying as knowledge. Jnanena sadrisham pavitram iha na vidyate. I want to become free, I want to become pure, I want to become pure. It means you will never become pure. You are already pure. The only question of shifting your essence from anatma to atma. Then you recognize you don't become pure, you are pure. The vision of the self, you are purity, yourself. Isn't it? So, Vishuddha Sattvaha means these people who are completely pure minded, because in Jnanam they revel in fullness. When they revel in fullness, they are free from all the impurities also. Because this kama, krodha, lobha, moha, madha, masarya, things are not there in the mind in Jnanam. Therefore, this is, you know, the pure minded. Therefore, he says, Vyatayaha, Shuddha Sattvaha, such people, Parantakale, Para Antakale. Antakalaha is the time of death. Antakale. Para Antakala, Purvantakala means early part of life. Parantakala means later part of life. Later part of life means what? Which is later part of life? Any time death comes, that part of time is what now? Later part of life. Isn't it? Paraantakale means later part of life. Before death, at the time of death, what happens now? Brahma lokeshu paramrutaha parimuchyanti. Brahma lokeshu, I don't think there are so many Brahma lokas. Brahma lokaha is mentioned here just to mean because the wise people are so many, therefore for sake of, no, plural is used here, Brahma lokaha. Brahma lokeshu means Brahmani, in reality, in Paramborul. Brahma Lokeshu means what now? In Brahman. There are not many Brahma Lokas are not there. Brahma Lokeshu, just for the sake of the, because the number of people who become wise are many, isn't it? Number is there, the Brahma Lokeshu. Brahma Lokeshu is equal to Brahmani, Paramatmani. That's the meaning. Paramborulil. Brahma Lokeshu in Brahman, Para Amrutaha Bhavanti. Para Amrutaha means what now? Param Amrutam. They become absolute, is it? Absolute. What is Param? That is absolute is Brahman. And what is the nature of that Brahman? Immortality, Amrutam, indestructibility, isn't it? So they become, what now? They become immortal, they become one with absolute Brahman. They become what now? They become free from death. Amrutaha Bhavanti means they become free from mortality. They become free from maranam. Marana dharmakam. Amarana dharmakam is called amrutam. They become free from death. They become free from mortality. They become free from what? They attain immortality. They become one with Brahman. They become one with Brahman. They become Brahman, which is of the nature of, isn't it, immortality, and which is immortal and which is absolute. And in Brahman, thereby they become free from bondage for good, all those people. This is the Jnana Phalam. I told you even in the Gita class that day, they attain immortality, paramam, param, amrutam. Now, they say, para amrutaha, para amrutaha, para amrutaha. Actually, when you say, paramam, amrutam, amarana dharmakam, brahma. Para amrutaha means what now? For, they become Brahman means for them, the absolute reality, which is free from any mortality or which is not subject to any mortality or death, etc., indestructible, that Brahman is not anymore something away, not distant. That Brahman is their own self. Brahma yesham atma now. For them, absolute reality, the all-pervasive reality, indestructible reality, timeless reality, eternal reality, all-pervasive reality, this reality which is self of all the beings, where is that? Myself. I said, for them, Brahman is no more an object, no more another thing. Brahman for them is very self. That is the beauty. The paramrutaha. Those who see Brahman as one's own self, those who see one's own self as Brahman, they are paramrutaha bhavanti. Thereby they become free from bondage for good. While living, they resolve the. They were living itself, they are free from sanchita agami karmas. And they exhaust the parabdha karma. After death, they completely no more karma for them. Sanchitam and agami have already gone. Parabdha has been exhausted. No karma is there for them to be exhausted. Therefore, no desire is there for them, which is the seed for the sustenance of the continuation of what now? Sukshma shariram. The desire is completely resolved. Therefore, sukshma becomes resolved for good. There are no more punarjanma. That's called parimo. Parimoksha. Understand how? That's how parimuchyanti, parimochanam. Become free for good. Okay? That's why I said, it's just the understanding. There's no such thing called attainment of immortality. I mentioned in the class, some of you were not there in the Bhagavad Gita class, so I'm repeating it today. Attainment of immortality means, if you really analyze, what is that which attains immortality? All that is there is only Atman and Anatma. Anatma, again, we do not count as a second thing. Atma is the only Satyam. Atma is nothing but Atma alone is Brahman. Only Satyam, only reality, secondless reality, Advayam Brahma, Advitiyam Brahma. Non-dual reality is non-dual reality, is secondless also. Why secondless reality? That is why non-dual, secondless reality, when you say, all that is, the reality is only one, which is Atma, consciousness, which is the existence, which is the consciousness is there as the existence. Like H2O is there as the existence of wave. Consciousness is there as the existence of the Samagra Prapancha, and which is of the nature of fullness. Isn't it? And that is the only reality, non-dual reality, secondless reality. That reality, this Jnani recognizes as one's own self. And apart from that Atma, what else is there? Anatma. Anatma, we say Mithya. Why it is Mithya? Because it has no independent existence. Because it has no independent existence, what does it mean? It cannot be counted as a next thing, another thing. What is that which can be counted as a second thing, other thing? A thing which can independently exist. In the absence or presence of other things, alone can be counted, alone has countability. Here the Jagat, whole Jagat we say Mithya, which is inclusive of your body, mansions, complex, it doesn't have countability. It can be counted as a second thing. Why? Because it is Mithya. Why? What does it mean? It doesn't have independent existence minus without Atma Chaitanyam. Therefore, what should we say? What is there is only Brahman. Hello? So this is the, isn't it, Atma Brahman. Therefore, only Brahman means, there is no second thing other than Brahman. This vision. So when we say this was second, no second thing, no second thing at all what is there's only Brahman means Atma Anatma. So what is that really which is attaining moksha here? Your mind inclusive of the I thought is what? Anatma. Your mind, isn't it, which will not be there without the I thought. Imagine there's no I thought. Can that be mind? Please think and see. Without the I thought, where is the mind? Where is your desire? Now, I was not there, my desire alone was sitting there. Now, I was not there, but my hunger was there. I was not there, my thirst was there. I was not there, my anger was there. No. You must be first there for your anger to be there, desire to be there, jealousy to be there, passion to be there. For anything to be there, you must be first there. You are first. You are first. Bhagavan says you are first. Isn't it? Therefore, I thought, the whole mind, including your I thought, I cognition, is what now? Anatma. Does I attain moksha? Who attains immortality? Does I attain immortality? Understand now? What is attaining immortality? So, Anatma does not attain immortality because Anatma cannot attain immortality because Anatma is of the nature of what now? Nature of constant change, that is why constant change, inevitable, unchangeable nature of the matter is what Anatma is, constant change. The change which is happening on the part of the Anatma alone is said to be mortality. Therefore, Anatma is a mortal. isn't it? Whereas Atma is immortal, and Atma is of the nature of what now? Indestructibility. Atma is everlasting, timeless reality. Therefore, who attains immortality? Atma doesn't attain immortality, Anatma also doesn't attain immortality. Attainment of immortality is only in cognition. In cognition only attainment of immortality. What is the cognition? I sense, if it is shifted from Anatma to Atma, that is what is attainment of immortality. How do you shift? Like shifting the mic from that to here? No, not physical shift. Cognitively, all that is there is Brahman. All that is there is only Brahma, Chaitanyam, Brahma. To understand that fact, I am Chaitanyam should be understood. The wave says, sitting there, all these waves are H2O. How can you say? The wave has to include itself, isn't it? One wave has to say, I the wave am the water, and all the waves are water, the entire ocean is water, in fact what is there is only water. Similarly, one has to say the whole Jagat is Brahma Chaitanyam ultimately. All the elements, all the galaxies, all the elementals, all that is here, the mobile, immobile, everything that is here, ultimately everything is Brahman for one to say. His body is Brahman, his mind is Brahman, senses are Brahman, everything is Brahman means I am Brahman, you should know. I am Brahman is not here. Actually, when you say I am Brahman means, Aham Brahma Asmi means, I mean the consciousness. Isn't it? This is the fact. Therefore, this understanding, this cognitively shifting the I sense from Dehatma, Deha to what now? Karyakarana Sanghata, is body mind complex, to the Atma Chaitanyam is what? Attainment of immortality while living. And such a person immediately becomes free from Sanchita Agami. He is free from doership and enjoyership. You are studying already in 4th chapter and he is free from those things. And after Jnanam, he becomes free from Prarabdha also. He is free. That's how they attain Moksha. This is the Jnana Phalam. Okay? This is said here. We'll go to the next verse. And he says, in fact, Shankara gives very beautifully, such people parimuchyanti, they do not come back. After attainment of Moksha, look at this, after gaining Jnanam, they become Jivan Muktaha while living. And after death, what happens? The Parabdha also is exhausted, the Sukshma will be resolved after Jnanam, therefore they do not assume another body, again they will not be born. That means they do not travel anywhere. See, when wise people die, wise people, Sukshma leaves the physical body, they do not move an inch. They do not travel. Sukshma resolves then and there for good. Bhagavan Shankara Bhagavatam says here, it's exactly like the pot space, isn't it? Bhinne ghate ghatakashaha mahakashe iva. When the pot is broken, does the pot space travel from here to some distance to become one with other space? There is free. It is already becomes one with that. Sukshma will be resolved. Then it doesn't have any. Then after that, will it come back? The other question. Parimuchyanti means they become free for good means they will not assume a body and be born again. This is what people don't like. Now I want to be born again. I want to attain moksha now, then I want to come back again as a free person. That will not work. Okay? And you will not be born again. So he says, Shakuninam iva. When the birds fly in the space, can you make out the footprints of birds in the sky when they fly? Similarly, jnanis also, when they go back, they do not come back. That is how to say that. Now, Shakuni Nam. Shakuni means a bird here. When the birds fly, they do not leave any footprints behind. So also, Jalacharaha Jale Iva. When the fish also swims in the, moves in the water, you can't make out the footprints to follow and then let me go and find out where it has gone. Isn't it? It is not practical, it's not possible. Similarly, these jnanis also do not come back. They don't leave any trace behind to come back. Okay. This is over. We'll go to the next. Again, one more. I think I should be able to finish it today. Gata, all important things about jnanis I have said here already. Have I made it very clear? Okay. Gata kalaha. Panchadasha. When the wise people leave, they do not leave any footprints behind. That means they do not even come back. Shakuni nam akashe iva. Jale varicharasya iva. Padam na deshantaram gantavyam apekshante. They not go anywhere. They don't travel, no journey, nothing. They are free wherever they are. In England itself, they will be free if they are living here. They don't need to go to India, Rishikesh or anywhere. Wonderful thing, isn't it, to know? Okay. Gata kalaha. Panchadasha. Pratishtha. Devascha. Sarve. Pratidevatasu. Karmani. Vijnanamayascha Atma. Pare. Avyaye. Sarvam. Sorry. Sarve. Yeki bhavanti. Sarve eki bhavanti. That means what? Sarve eki bhavanti means everything becomes one. Everything becomes one means what now? Sarve eki bhavanti means nothing is there. All of them resolve. What happens to the sukshma of a wise person? Because sukshma only comes back again and again. Punarapi jananam. Punarapi maranam. Who is the one who comes back? I tell you, please understand. People talk about, no, this physical body definitely gets disintegrated. No Mahatma's physical body also can be retained forever. People tell some stories, okay, we have that body preserved there, this body preserved there. The hospitals, they may keep it for you for a few days. Imagine, okay, otherwise, no physical body. See, with preserving in things, with the preservatives, if you preserve, no, that is okay for some time maybe. No, because you don't get crematorium booking, so you have to wait. Otherwise, you throw it away immediately, isn't it? Stinking and then you spread all disease and problems. It's like any tomato, when it gets spoiled, you don't like to keep it in the fridge anymore. Same way it should be kept anymore. Immediately, at once it should be, because it's disease for other people. You don't know how what all creates. So, the sukshthulam of anybody, your stolam, my stolam, vegetarian stolam, non-vegetarian stolam, okay? And then, what is that? What is the people who are eating only vegetarian food? Vegans. A vegan stolam, any stolam, every stolam, like dog stolam or cat stolam, anybody's sthulam will become disintegrated. When the sukshma leaves, sthulam will get disintegrated. That is why you preserving, nobody can stop this physical body from falling apart. It has span of life, isn't it? It has this life. One day it will fall. That is why people, if they try to make this body survive forever, that is not practical. Understand now? That way, all stories also, you should be very careful and listen. This falling of physical body is definite, disintegrated, become one with minerals. It joins, but only Sukshma alone survives death after death after death after death. Sukshma survives death. Even on consciousness. Consciousness is not born, doesn't die anything. But Sukshma continues to exist. How long? What is that which really maintains the, sustains the Sukshma Shariram? Desire. Unresolved, unsettled, unfulfilled desires. That's why we're all here today. We must have gone away in last jama with some desires. Unfulfilled desires. Jnanam was not that. Okay, we're all here, all of us here. You know, because some unfulfilled desires, some samskara, some interest, we must spend some time also in talking Vedanta, studying Vedanta a little bit, and here and there, some bhajans and some temples and some things. With all the samskara, we are born here again. But still, this thought, the desire is there, and that desire is enough for you to maintain your, this body. Sukshayiram. And account as the paradha is there, ajnanam is there, it continues. But what happens in jnanam, the sukshma shariram, after the body falls, sukshma of the jnani becomes disintegrated, it wears out, it resolves. Each shakti, what he says, Bhagavan says here, desire does not rise at all, desires are all totally, this has become totally resolved for this jnani. There is no kartutvam, there is no bhoktutvam, there is only fullness here. Recognition, identity is not with the mind means, then there is no desire. If identity is with the desire mind, there will be desire, there will be inadequacy, there will be problems. If identity is not with I am Brahma Asmi, Aham Brahma Asmi, that vision is very clear, then the other identity is not with the mind, there is no inadequacy, there can't be any desire. So mind is resolved. What happens to rest of the 15, Panchadasha Kalaha? Kala means aspect, okay? 15 aspects which form part of the Sukshma Shariram. He says, each power joins its own respective devata. There is a total power. I told you, we studied in Attubodha also. There is a corresponding total power of each individual power. Do you remember that? Now, seeing power, there is a corresponding total seeing power. There is a power of hearing, individual power, there is a corresponding total power of hearing. There is a corresponding, isn't it? There is power of smelling, there is a corresponding total power of, isn't it? Power of smelling. So, each individual powers join their total powers. Therefore, Sukshma also resolved. And so also all the pranas become, what now, resolve in the air. Their own respective shaktis. There's a samashti shakti, vyakti shakti. The vyakti shaktayaha cannot survive without the mind. Mind will be resolved for good in fullness because desire will be resolved. Once the desires are resolved for good, all the thoughts will be resolved. So no more mind after Parabdha is over. Then all what happened to 15? They all disintegrated, joined their own respective powers. How physical bodies, minerals join the respective their own this elements, so also shakti is also join, subtle powers also resolve in their own respective total powers. But in jnanam only it happens. Even in ajnanam, physical body becomes disintegrated. But sukshma does not become disintegrated and the powers do not join their respective total powers as long as ajnanam is there. Ajnanam sustains the sukshma. Sustaining food. Seed actually. Therefore sukshma resolves. Therefore sukshma is resolved means There is no, it can't come back. They can't come back. That is what is said here very beautifully. Gataha kalaha panchadasha pratishtaha. Panchadasha kalaha means the 15 aspects of the subtle body, such as seeing power, hearing power. What happens to, you should know, physical body becomes disintegrated. But what happens to the Sukshma Shari subtle body? Each subtle power, individual power, joins the total power. Becomes one with the total power. So, Panchadasha Kalaha means all of them join their respective. Pratishtaha means their total corresponding powers. Pratishtham Vindate, isn't it? Pratishtha means a beautiful word for Pratishtha. Pratishtha means that wherein one becomes resolved. One of the bungalows in Coimbatore is called Pratishtha. You know, next behind this, Pratishtha, Swamiji named that house as Pratishtha. Now, what I'm saying here, Pratishtha means that going where it can't go anywhere. Don't think it's a location or anything. It's not a location or place. Brahman is Pratishtha. Then for each sense power, its own corresponding total power is Pratishtha. For their minerals, earth element is the Pratishtha. It joins where? Isn't it? So, the Sukshma disintegrates. The Panchadasha Kalaha Pratishtaha Gataha. Pratishtaha, where have they gone? 15 aspects, subtle 15 aspects. The subtle, 15 subtle aspects, which together remain as one Sukshma Shariram, they all say bye to each other, and then they are living together all these days, together, working together, as a part of big, you know, it's like one officer, when he retires from the office, and farewell party. Isn't it? Rest of them will be there to give him farewell party. Here there's no farewell. No, everyone has to say bye to each other. We will not see again at all forever. Okay? That is what they say, bye to each other. And each Shakti goes and joins its own corresponding Shakti. And that's all resolves for good. Nice to know, isn't it? Look at this. They don't cry actually. I'm all going, leaving you alone. That's such a thing. It's all emotional business, isn't it? So, Panchadasha Kalaha, Pratishtaha Gataha. They all go back and join their own respective total powers. That's what he says. Sarve Devascha Prati Devatasu. So, Pranas join their respective Pranas. Total pranas, then sarve devascha prati devatasu. Devascha means what now here? I taught you in Driktrishya class, devaha, mahadevaha, etc. Each power is called devaha. Okay, pranas also join the Hiranya Garbha, isn't it? The total prana, and then each power devaha joined his corresponding total power. So, sarve devaha cha prati devatas, to their own corresponding power they join. If you remember, I think better you have to go and see your Tattubodha book. What is the corresponding total power? Isn't it? You have to remember. It goes and joins. Karmani, all the actions, all the karmani, vijnanamayascha atma. What happens to all the karmas? What happened to karmani? Karmas also resolve. Punyam goes, papam goes, everything, all the actions also, eki bhavanti. They all will be resolved. Vijnanamayascha atma. Vijnanamayascha atma means what now? Vijnanamaya atma, actually, the, you know, Vijnanamaya atma is, I had it in Panchakoshas, Vijnanamaya atma, remember? So here sense organs and the buddhi, together what now? Vijnanamaya atma. That is possible only when there is ajnanam. Ajnanam is there is Vijnanamaya atma. isn't it? Just he mentions that Ajnanam is gone, Adhyasa gone, Adhyaropa gone, all everything is gone. Therefore, all of them totally, what now? Eki Bhavanti. Eki Bhavanti means they all resolve and lose their identity, individual identity. They are no more there independently, outside of something different from Brahma Chaitanyam. Is it clear now? Eki Bhavanti. When you see all the waves in the ocean, and then you say every wave you count and you see differently. When you see the water, when you understand the water being the very substratum of all these Namarupani waves, then you say what now? Sarve Tarangaha Eki Bhavanti. Do they become one? Do all the waves become one? They do not become one. All the waves which seem to be different as waves, different from each other, different from the ocean, because of the Namarupa, they become resolved in the water when the truth of the waves being water is understood. Eki Bhavanti, they become one means they don't become one, they become resolved in one reality. Is it clear now? Therefore, everything becomes resolved in the only reality, that the eye resolves, mind resolves, all the thoughts resolve, and all the sense powers join their respective powers. The pranas join their total Hiranyagarbha. Physical body becomes disintegrated and becomes one with their corresponding elements. Join their corresponding elements. Then what is there is only Brahma. This what a wise person. What happens to the wise person? Is it okay? Are you upset about what's happened to wise person? She really feel sad for him. He is not sad. We become sad. And what is that he becomes what now? Pare avyaye eki bhavanti. Have you read the verse? Oh, I'm sorry. Gata kalaha panchadasha pratishthaha devascha sarve pratidevatasu. Bhagavan says here, kalaha, prana, adhyaha, taha, swam, swam, pratishtam, gataha, swam, swam, karanam, gataha, bhavanti, iti artaha. They all reach their own corresponding powers. Devascha sarve, pratidevatasu. Okay. Chakshuradi karanasthaha sarve, prati devata, so they reach their own respective powers. Okay. Karmani. Apravrutta palani. Because there's no palam for a karmani when he does also. Because doership is not there, enjoyership is not there, punya papas are also not there. They also resolve, they become one. Vijnanamayascha. Vijnanamaya Atma, you know the same thing. Same thing I'm repeating. Atma. Vijnanamayascha Atma means, again, same thing, the intellect and other sense powers, etc. He means all of them. Pare. Avyaye. Bhagavan Shankara says, Anante. Akshaye. Brahmani. Akashakalpe, Aje, Ajare, Amrute, Abhaye, Apurve, Anapare, Anantare, Abbahye, Advaye, Shive, Shante, Sarve, Eki Bhavanti. Such a beautiful verse this is, isn't it? ஷிவே சாந்தே அத்வயே அபாஹ்யே அனந்தரே அனபரே அபூர்வே அபயே அம்ருதே அஜரே அஜே ஆகாஷகல்பே அக்ஷயே அனந்தே அவ்யயே பிரம்மணி ஏகி பவந்தி. Shankaracharyabha gives this in his commentary. Avyaye for one word, he gives, repeats all these things. What is that avyayam? What is that which is not subject to any decline, any change? Isn't it? Ajara, which never becomes obsolete, which remains the same, which doesn't get old. Isn't it? My computer has become, look at this, useless now. So, like that, Brahma never becomes obsolete, ever fresh, ajara, never gets old. Aja is not born, doesn't die. Akasha kalpe, it is all pervasive space. Anante, limitless. Akshaye, indestructible, imperishable. Amrite, free from mortality, free from any death, etc. Abhayam, what, there's no such thing called fear, free from all fear. Apurve, that which doesn't have anything before that. Anapare, that which doesn't have anything other than that. Anantare, is it that which doesn't have inside, outside. And then abahye, which is what, not something which is outside. And advaye, which is non-dual. Shive, which is of the nature of auspiciousness, and Shante, which is absolute peace by itself. In that Brahma Chaitanyam, all of them resolve. Don't think they go and join one day. Okay? Purely in your buddhi, you see the resolve. Before your knowledge of water being the truth of the ocean and waves, you saw waves and ocean. After knowledge of the truth being water, H2O, you still see the waves and ocean. But you say what? Cognitively you have resolved all of them in water. But to resolve that, what you need? For cognitive resolution, you need the knowledge of H2O being the truth. Similarly, you don't do anything here. Everything you see as only reality, Brahman. Is it clear? This is the Jnana Phalam. So, wise person says good for, says by for good. It's all Jnana Phalam only. 8:30. Yeah. Okay. Okay, go back and come back. I want to finish Upanishad today. Okay. 10:10 now. So I'll give you a break. 9 o'clock we started the class. Why should we stop? No. Another 10 minutes. Okay. Yatha Nadyaha. You really want to break now? Okay. Huh? Okay. It's very good. Yatha Nadyaha. Syandamanaha. See, all Jnana Phalam only now. This verse, chapter full of Jnana Phalam. Samudre astam gacchanti namarupe vihaya tatha vidvan namarupad vimuktah paratparam purusham upaiti divyam. Vidwan, vidwan. You come across the word vidwan there. Vidwan means what? Vid itself means knowledge. And jnanavan like vidwan. Vidwan means jnanavan. Jnanavati, vidvati, vidushi, you know? Here vidwan purushaha. Vidwan, what he says now, Vidwan Upaiti. Vidwan Upaiti. Upaeti. Upaiti means attains. Again, wise person attains means, even whenever you use the word attain, attainment is always of something which is other than you. But here, that is why Bhagavan puts the word upa. Vidwan attains means Vidwan recognizes. Upaiti, because recognizing one's own swarupam, being Brahman, is attaining the knowledge of Brahman. Recognizing one's own swarupam, being Chaitanyam Brahma, is attaining the knowledge of Brahman. Isn't it? So here Vidwan Upaiti. And here we have to say, this Vidwan becomes one with Brahman. That's another meaning, okay? One with Brahman. Again, I told you, there's no such thing called merging or becoming united. Here, Para Upaiti. Whom does Vidwan Upaiti? Parat Param Purusham Upaiti. Parat Param. Paraha Paraha. The two Paras. Look at this. One Para means absolute, ultimate. And then, more absolute, isn't it? Then there are two things. One para, one more para. So parat param. One para means karanam, jagat karanam is maya shakti. Another, what is parat paraha? What is param? Cause of the universe is para, param. Cause is param, effect is aparam. Cause is param, effect is aparam. Clay is param, pot is aparam. Like this, maya is param, jagan nama rupa is what? Whole jagat, all the names and forms are aparam. But what is maya? Unmanifest nama rupa is maya. Manifest nama rupa is jagat. Remember this very well? Driktrishya. So, therefore, unmanifest namarupa is maya, manifest namarupa is jagat, means this maya is param, unmanifest namarupa, maya is what? Param, and jagat namarupa is what? Aparam. But we say, for paramba, aparamba, what is beyond even for maya, it must be locus, isn't it? What is that which lends existence to the unmanifest namarupa? In the form of maya. Brahma Chaitanyam. Isn't it? Therefore, the consciousness, which is the very existence and which lends existence to the maya shakti, the cause of the jagat, is what now? Parat paraha purushaha. The purushaha, I told you, two meanings. Pure ushati iti purushaha, sarvam pureti iti purushaha, that which fills everything is called purusha, that which indwells every being is also purusha. What is the purushaha? Who is the purusha? There is no other purusha, there is no purusha other than Chaitanyam Brahma, consciousness. The absolute person, the all-pervasive person, which indwells everything in the world, in the universe, is pure consciousness. And that consciousness is what now? Brahma Chaitanyam. Parat paraha purushaha. That purusha, this wise person attains. Parat param purusham upaiti. Vidwan parat param purusham upaiti. Vidwan, wise person, attains Brahman. How does he attain? Not walking through, running through, going by aircraft, attains as one's own self. Upaeti, he attains the self closely as one's own self. Understand? Vidwan paratparam Brahma upurusham upaeti. And what is it paratparaha purushaha? He says, divyaha, divyam. Say now. Divyaha means what now? Divyaha, whenever you come across the word divyaha, understand purushaha is divyaha. Who is the Purusha here? The indwelling self, which indwells everything as the self of everything, is of the nature of self-effulgence. Tanaha vilanguhindra arivain, arivannam parambarul. That which shines by itself, isn't it? Divyaha, the consciousness, which is of the nature of self-effulgence, and which is the absolute reality, which is the absolute Purusha, which pervades everything, which fills everything, which indwells every being, that Parpurusham Vidvan, what now? Upaiti. That means he resolves his identity with Bhagavan, Brahman. Then what happens for such a person? Namarupad Vimuktaha Bhavati. Then he becomes free from name and form. Namarupad Vimuktaha Bhavati. He becomes free from name and form. Only if you have identity with the body, mind and complex, you have form and you have name. The identity is with Atma Chaitanyam, consciousness, then you are free from the name and form. Isn't it? And here Shastra Upanishad itself gives a beautiful example. How does he become, how does this wise person who attains this self-effulgent reality, the Paratparaha Purushaha, how does he become free from name and form? He says, Namarupa Vimuktaha, he says, Yatha Syandamanaha Nadyaha Samudre Astam Gacchanti. The rivers keep on flowing. Sandamanaha Nadyaha. The rivers. Nadi is river. Nadyaha rivers. Syandamanaha Nadyaha. The rivers which are flowing towards the ocean. Samudre Astam Gacchanti. They go and join the ocean. When they join the ocean, they get the name ocean, they lose the name river. Isn't it? Syandamanaha nadyaha samudre astam gacchanti. When they join the ocean, they cannot retain the old name river anymore. Why? By joining the ocean, they have lost their names. It can't be called again the water which was flowing as the river, joining the ocean, cannot be called again by the same name, river. It has lost their identity. The water which flows as river loses its identity as river, the name and form river. It's no more river. Namarupa has gone. Sansyandamanaha nadyaha samudre astam gacchanti. When they join the ocean, then they can't have identity with the name and form river anymore. They lose their identity as river and the name and form river. Similarly, this Vidwan who has recognized his Swarupam being pure consciousness, thereby who has shifted his essence from body, mind, complex to the consciousness, thereby who has cognitively, isn't it, become one with consciousness, Paratparaha Purushaha, as one's own self, he also loses his Namarupa identity. All other, he loses his identity with different layers of personality. Person joins the person. Person becomes one with the person. Personalities drop. Isn't it? H2O joins the H2O. There's no joining really, as though, but wrong identity goes. Isn't it? Namarupe vihaya. Beautiful, isn't it? Do you see the beauty of it was? Okay. So he says, yatha syandamanaha nadyaha samudre astam gacchanti. They become one with the ocean, nama rupe vihaya, losing their identity as identity, losing their name and form river. So also this Vidwan also, what now, loses his identity as individual, his name and form, he becomes one with, his identity is not with the human body mind complex anymore. Identity is with what? Only with Brahma Chaitanya. Is it clear? Sometime when you listen to look at me, is it all practical? What are you talking? We are coming and listening, wasting 2-3 hours of our Saturdays. What do you say? That's how it looks. Don't take it for real, it is satyam. I'm not saying Upanishad. Veda Vakyam Satyam. I was doing this for Krishnanji and Peterji one this text called Swatmani Rupanam that says, no, Veda Pramanyam is mentioned there. Veda Pramanyam means, in the text it says, no, what is being said in the Veda, isn't it, is not said anywhere. And anything, if somebody shows what is already said in the Veda, come on, not only in the Veda, it's also said here, means it is only translation. It's only repetition or restating of what has been said already. Isn't it? Because Veda Vakya means so satyam. Anyway, so here, that is the thing. So all jnana palam, he talks about how moksha can be talked about, isn't it? This Upanishad is trying to make us understand how beautiful it is to see you as na, to have a wider, to see oneself through, isn't it? What do you see yourself through? Always the problem is, all our problems rise from what we see ourselves through, isn't it? Swamiji used to tease when he came to Coimbatore first. All these Coimbatore industries see themselves through the number of spindles they have in the textile mills. Everyone sees oneself through what I want, what I am, what I have, how big I am, like that. One sees oneself through one's possessions and positions and looks and things. Isn't it? But the jnani is the one who sees himself through the self. Not what he sees himself through what he is, not he sees, doesn't see himself through what he has, what he possesses, what he actually is. Anyway, so we have two more mantras which I want to finish it today, so that next week happily we'll start this comprehension of this Mundaka Upanishad we'll see from next week. Okay, so I'll break here. You can go for your tea and come back. Only two more mantras, we'll finish the Upanishad, the text. Then I'm going to tell you how to really make it thorough. Okay, I'll tell you. Now I'm going to tell you from each Upanishad, each section, what are the mantras you have to memorize also. It won't work otherwise. You had to memorize some verses. Not memorizing the mantras, memorize some important mantras, and also know the meaning, know the context, what actually each chapter tells you, you should know. Okay? Om Shanti Shanti Shanti.